This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
On Wednesday, the Virginia General Assembly will reconvene in Richmond to consider amendments and vetoes from our governor, Governor Timothy Kaine. To discuss the reconvened session, we're joined by Jesse Ferguson, the Chief of Staff for Delegate Brian Moran. Delegate Moran is the Chair of the Democratic Caucus in the House of Delegates. We're also joined by Jeff Ryer, who is Press Secretary for Delegate Morgan Griffith of Salem, the House Majority Leader. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Coy. Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Hi, Jesse. How's it going?
Doing well.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. So let's start with you, Jeff. Your take on what you expect to see Wednesday, generally speaking, and then we'll get into some specifics. We'll talk transportation and smoking and death penalty and all this good stuff.
Well, the governor's passed down quite a few vetoes, more than we're used to in recent years, and a number of amendments. So I expect at a minimum probably a pretty lengthy day. I don't think it's going to be something that goes by very quickly. Beyond that, it's a little difficult to say what the ultimate outcome is going to be on most of the legislation that's under review and the amendments, but it is starting to shape up, as I'm sure most of your listeners who read the papers regularly can tell.
I'm sure it's going to be an incredibly busy day for y'all. Jesse, is a reconvened session usually just a day, or ideally just a day, or might it go more than that?
Thanks, Coy. Ideally, it's just a day. I don't know if I think the law allows it to go 3 days, but we're certainly hopeful that we'll be able to get the job done on time. But tomorrow's an exciting day for Democrats, or Wednesday is an exciting day for Democrats in the legislature, because this is the time where, on an issue like transportation, Democrats are finally brought to the table in crafting a plan. During the legislative process, the majority party gets to drive the legislative train, and we're excited to have our governor be able to weigh in and put down some real improvements on a number of different issues for consideration on Wednesday.
Jesse, let's talk transportation now. This was the big issue last year and really didn't go anywhere. The big issue again this year, and we did see a package come out of the General Assembly. The Republican-led Assembly managed to compromise their wings of their party in the Senate and in the House and hammer something together that some people are very thrilled with and others are not. What's your take on how Governor Kaine has responded to this package with a number of amendments? He did not veto the package, but he did amend the heck out of it. And give us your take on the governor's approach to the package and what we might see on Wednesday as a result.
Sure. Governor Kaine exhibited a great example of the type of leadership we've come to expect from him and from Governor Warner before him, by taking a flawed transportation plan that didn't get the job done and didn't get people moving on the roadways, and turn it into a plan that's workable, turn it into a plan that does make the investments where we need them, that will help to alleviate traffic, particularly in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, and that doesn't overly rely on money from education and public safety and health care to fund transportation. That was the objection we all had, as it went through the process. And the governor has led from the top and gotten the job done. And I think you're going to see bipartisan support for the governor's plan. You're going to see the people of Virginia happy with yet again proof that the Democratic leadership is able to provide the results that the people of Virginia are looking for.
Jeff Ryer with the Republican Party of Virginia. Has the governor reached out to the Republican leadership in the House prior to this point, sort of behind the scenes?
Well, I have to say that Jesse's version of events is just a great attempt at revisionism. Jesse, is NoRaid.org still in existence?
NoRaid.net, but yeah, it is.
See, here's the thing.
People
the governor
across Virginia
had three
to chime in and let elected officials know.
Hold on one minute. Hold on a minute, guys.
Funds from education was the wrong solution, and Governor Kaine has stood with us.
The fact of the matter is, what did the governor do? The governor dedicated the insurance premiums, general fund revenue dollars, to transportation. He dedicated a portion of the recordation tax, general fund revenue dollars, to transportation. One of his big objections was the general fund contribution, which was frankly a red herring because the general fund has been growing at about 5% annually, and all the plan did was dedicate 1% of the overall general fund to transportation, and it was actually less than 1%. It was 0.8%, and that amount would decline over time. So the idea that it was taking money from education or anything else wasn't true. I think you saw that in the governor's amendments when he, in fact, dedicated general fund revenues to transportation, and that is what he has done, because you can't call the recordation tax or the tax and insurance premiums anything other than a general fund revenue. And I'm happy now that a Democrat has gone ahead and acknowledged this appropriation of general funds, that he brings Democrat legislators with him. In addition to that, another one of the governor's objections was the local enactment portion of the plan. He left local enactment entirely intact. A third objection of the governor's, which just suddenly vanished, was he said that it was going to cost $100 million to implement the plan. That's gone now. So what we see on our side is basically the governor's made some revisions, most of them technical, some of them meaningful, but the idea that he has overhauled the plan or enacted a dramatic fix of it or something is just spin, and that's all it is.
But, Coy, do we have a minute?
Yeah, Jesse, go right ahead.
I think that there's two big points that we're missing here. Number one, on the local plans, the plan that the governor was given was unworkable. 70 local governments around the Commonwealth met with the governor and said, this plan is not workable, we will not implement it. So yes, there was a local plan, there were some local options in the plan, the governor's fixed it, the governor's made it workable and authored a responsible plan. On the general fund, last session, the plan that was passed by the majority party had $800 million in general funds sucked away for transportation. This year, those numbers came down to 500, 250, 184, and we settled on 66. So I will certainly say that the governor has led the charge along with Democratic legislators at protecting 92% of the money that Republican lawmakers wanted to take away from our general fund, from our critical areas like education and public safety and health care. I'll agree with Jeff that there are some funds that had otherwise been in the general fund used in this plan. They're dedicated, $44 million of it, two-thirds of it dedicated to mass transit, as the governor felt like that was a good, solid compromise. He wasn't going to get wrapped up in the politics in this, and he was going to really solve the problem, and he did, and we're going to have a chance to vote for that on April 4th.
Well, I'm happy to hear that Jesse's going to vote for it. However, the fact of the matter is that the governor increased the general fund contribution in several different areas, including the original bill only took one half of future general fund surpluses and dedicated them to transportation. The governor moved that up to two-thirds. That's more general fund revenues. The governor went into the recordation tax, as I stated before, and the idea that suddenly this is a general fund bill free transport, a general fund free transportation plan is just absurd. It's still there. Anybody can do the math, kind of straightforward, but we don't object to that. We didn't object to it. It was in the original bill. It's in the final bill. As far as the local plans changing, the only changes have been is that the options that were allowed in Hampton Roads have been transferred to Northern Virginia. Those localities that objected to it, suddenly those objections in those two regions went away when they were given the ability to tax their own constituents whether or not the plans were enacted. So now the commercial real estate fee that they objected to so heavily and said that they wouldn't enact, they in fact have themselves the option of enacting by themselves, regardless of whether or not a regional plan is enacted. And they've also gotten the opportunity in those two regions to raise the registration fee on vehicles another $10. So what the governor did to assuage local government was give them more taxing authority. I'm not so sure that a lot of Virginians would see that as a beneficial change.
We're talking with Jeff Ryer of the Republican Party of Virginia and Jesse Ferguson of the Democratic Party of Virginia. Gentlemen, Jeff, if I could ask you about the governor's amendment regarding smoking.
Sure.
If the governor's amendment survives Wednesday's veto session, mm-hmm. All restaurants here in Virginia will go smoke-free on July 1st, the same day that will happen in England, interestingly enough.
I caught that story in the Pilot today.
Right,
however,
right.
It won't just be restaurants here. The governor wrote the bill to a section of the code that involves virtually every place where there is prepared food, which means that if you have a catered wedding, even if it's held outdoors, that would be non-smoking. was it your own home? If you have a hotel that offers room service, the entire hotel would become non-smoking. NASCAR events, anything at a stadium where there are refreshment serves, non-smoking. State fairs, county fairs. The governor's amendments do not just impact restaurants. They impact a much wider and broader range of items, including if you're in a major city, and really for us, Richmond and Norfolk, I don't know if there are street carts in Charlottesville. But if you're in a major city and there's a street vendor selling hot dogs, you would have difficulty walking near the sidewalk on them under the governor's amendments.
So, Jesse, your response to the governor's amendment that would outlaw smoking in all restaurants in Virginia, which, of course, in Virginia includes bars because we don't have bars as separate from restaurants. If you serve alcohol in Virginia, you've got to serve food as well.
Sure. Everyone has come to the conclusion that smoking is a public health risk. It's a risk to smokers, but the issue that the governor has focused on, rightfully so, is it's a risk in secondhand smoke to, you know, children, to non-smokers who are in the restaurant, to workers who are at the restaurant. And the governor's put together a package to try to move the ball forward on that. 22 other states have done this already. And the reality is, Jeff listed off a lot of different, you know, potential impacts of this. Most of those are red herrings. Today, the Virginia Health Commissioner made very clear at a press conference this morning that by regulation, this is going to be limited to what we've all talked about as the intent. It's to the restaurant where we don't want to tell a 22-year-old college student who's in there to work their way through college that they have to breathe secondhand smoke each and every year of their 4 years in college. And we're going to have to be stuck with the health care tab that implies in the long run, and we're going to be stuck with the long-term health care risks. The governor has put this together. I think you're going to see some regional differences on this issue, more than party differences, but I think there are some real responsible reasons to move this forward.
And Jesse, and let me point out something right here. Yes, the governor trotted out the health commissioner today. What he hasn't trotted out since it was pointed out how poorly this particular amendment was written, what he hasn't trotted out is a lawyer, including himself, to back up the way the amendment was written. It's been Kevin Hall, spokesman, and health commissioner, two people that are not versed in the law. Anybody that looks at the way the code is written and the section to which this is written will tell you its application is far broader than the governor has led Virginians to believe, and that's a very big disappointment. They need to come clean about it. They haven't, and I suspect they'll have an opportunity to come clean on Wednesday.
I think it's important to remember that this is an initiative that's had bipartisan support. Senator Brandon Bell deserves praise from Roanoke for standing up on this issue. Other Republican senators, Republican delegates who've been supporters of this issue, I think you're going to see a bipartisan vote on Wednesday of people that are willing to put public health as their number one concern.
Well, on that issue, on that note, let me just let you know something that you might not know about. Here in Charlottesville, we learned just in the last hour, Senator John Warner was in town to speak for one of Larry Sabato's classes, and reporter Bob Gibson was there, and Bob asked him about this amendment, and Senator Warner said that he supported it, that he thought this was a good idea, Governor Kane's amendments. And that he supported the idea that he thought this made health sense to do this, the leading Republican in the state. But that's just wanted to let you know that.
That's a further example of what I was just talking about. I hadn't heard that yet, but it doesn't surprise me. Senator Warner has time and again been one of those who puts public health and public interest above party and is willing to do the right thing. And he joins another group of Republicans and Democrats and joins our governor in hopefully passing something that improves public health in Virginia.
Jeff Ryer.
I'll put you down as backing Senator Warner's reelection in 2008 and trying to regain a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate.
Jeff Ryer with the Republican Party of Virginia and Jesse Ferguson with the Democratic Party of Virginia. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Jeff, let me ask you, the Virginia General Assembly passed legislation this year that would extend the use of the death penalty here in the Commonwealth to get rid of the trigger man rule, so that if you played a role in having someone killed or in driving the getaway car and any major role in killing someone, you too could face the death penalty, and you wouldn't have to pull the trigger to merit that. Governor Kane has vetoed this legislation. He does not want to see an extension of the use of the death penalty. Are we going to see on Wednesday an override of this veto, do you think?
I think it's going to be a very close vote on the Senate side. I'd be interested to hear Jesse's take because his employer, I believe, was a co-sponsor of this measure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we should look at it as an extension of the death penalty. What they're trying to do is make sure that capital punishment is applied to those who are responsible for having committed capital crimes. And that's really what the abolition of the trigger man rule is all about. I think it's, as you can tell from some of the news reports, I don't believe, unless there's been a dramatic change, that there will be a great deal of difficulty overriding the governor's veto in the House. I think, however, the vote in the Senate is likely to be much closer, and Jesse could probably give us a better insight on at least whether my version of that is correct.
Yeah, I think it is, Jeff. Governor Kane has been consistent with what he said in the campaign, but I know my boss, Delegate Moran, who chairs the Democratic caucus, was a co-patron on legislation to ensure that victims, that witnesses of crime and judges who were murdered for the intent of affecting the trial, the murderer could be punished with the ultimate sentence. He's a former prosecutor and felt strongly about that and respectfully disagrees with the governor on this one. I do wish that we could discuss this issue the way that Jeff and I are right now. There's been a lot of demagoguery out there about it, and that ultimately people feel strongly both ways. People have strongly held faith and convictions about it, and I think you'll see a vote on Wednesday that reflects that. I don't think anyone's going to change. This isn't an issue, hopefully, which elected officials decide what they're going to do on the day of the vote. This is the type of thing which you should decide before you're sworn in, which reflects your convictions, and I think you'll just see that bear out in the vote we see on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Jeff Ryer is the press secretary for Delegate Morgan Griffith, the House Majority Leader, and Jesse Ferguson is chief of staff for Delegate Brian Moran of Alexandria, the House, Jesse, help me out. The
House Democratic Caucus Chairman.
Thank you very much. That is a mouthful. The House Democratic Caucus Chairman. Gentlemen, thank you both so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Coy.
Thank you, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com, as well as the Sorensen blog at blog.sorenseninstitute.org. I'm sorry. Let's take a break here at the bottom of the hour for a little local news and get caught up on the weather. This is Coy Barefoot, and you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.